This is Brahiu, the legendary Hugh Masekela. He passed away in Johannesburg early this morning, January 23rd, at the age of 78. The trumpeter, scholar, freedom fighter, and so much more from South Africa was one of the most remarkable artists we've ever featured on this program. We got the chance to speak to him twice, first in 2011 when we spoke about the Jazz Epistles, arguably South Africa's most important jazz ensemble and recording of all time that featured Hugh when he was only 20 years old. The second time was in 2015 at the Cape Town International Jazz Festival in South Africa when the trumpeter was celebrating the 50th anniversary of his breakout recording, The Americanization of Ooga Booga. We bring you those conversations now, first with Masekela's thoughts about the Jazz Epistles, the legendary freedom fighter bebop band that also featured South African legends Abdullah Ibrahim, Jonas Gongwa, and the late Kippy Moketsi. On this historic recording, Abdullah Ibrahim, then he was known as Dollar Brand, wrote this tune for Masekela and called it Blues for Huey. Hugh then returned the favor and penned this song for Abdullah called Dollar's Moods. And it's remarkable that this music was even made in the first place, and you can learn all about the whole saga behind this recording by listening to our recent show celebrating the Jazz Epistles with Abdullah Ibrahim, and you can go to checkoutjazz.org to hear that. I asked Hugh Masekela about this Holy Grail recording from 1959 and if he already knew if he was leaving South Africa.
Had things really gone already? Did you know at that point that you would be leaving, or did you still think
I
that
knew I was leaving South Africa when I was a little kid, because I was going to be a musician, you know. I was a musician when I was an infant, and I knew I was going to go to the world. But what you have to realize was that South Africa was at war, you know. The indigenous people of South Africa were at war with the occupiers and the colonial governments and all that for 300 years. So by the time I grew up, strikes and boycotts and rallies and marches and all, they were part of life. It was not like I went into politics. Our life was a life of resistance because we were underfoot. So we didn't have to go to political school or analyze what we're doing. We're being oppressed, and like we're fighting back as much as we can. We're already conquered, you know, but we're not beaten, as you can see what happened. We're conquered, but we're not beaten. And by 1990s, it all turned around again. But that people don't know that in 1994, it was more than 330 years. You know, in 1994, when we voted, was the first peaceful day in South Africa since 1652.
The scullery department, what is that?
The kitchen. Scullery department is the kitchen where they wash the dishes and
Can you talk about that tune with the Jazz Epistles record?
It was a joke in the band, because when we had the Epistles, we were in demand, you know, in white clubs and hotels, and we used to fill the places, but we were not allowed there. So, like, the kitchen was our dressing room. We came through the back with the workers. It was a scullery department, so we lived there professionally, more or less.
Thank you.
music is the real food of nature. If you have it in you, you don't have to find it because you're oppressed. To the contrary, I guess when people are oppressed and they have the gift of music, they use it more. But what you have to know is that in Africa, the literature is music. That's the literature of Africa internationally. It's music. That's America became famous because of Africans here. That's how it got known through in the world. America didn't get known because of Abraham Lincoln, you know, or George Washington. Americans got to know about George Washington. But like the world knows America through its music, which was through the music that was like pioneered here by African Americans. So what I'm saying is like you go to the Caribbean, you go to South America, they might have cattle in Argentina, but they're famous because of the tango, you know, which again is like African, you know, influence. So in Brazil is the samba, and in the Caribbean there's the salsa, there's the all those things. They're all like African oriented. So Africans have never had to look for music, and they never had to write it either. It's just in the bones.
If history was different, like the 16 countries that announced their independence in 1960 in Africa, if history was different in South Africa, where the South African government was run by the people, maybe by Nelson Mandela, by 1960, instead of thrown into prison, and Sophiatown wasn't destroyed, and all of these incredible intellectual talent, musicians, artists, if they all stayed in South Africa, what do you think South Africa would be today?
Well, it would be one of the most advanced economies in the world, not only South Africa, but Southern Africa. You have to realize that the apartheid government destroyed most of Southern and Central Africa's economies and invaded them. They destroyed Southern and Central Africa, and as far as East Africa. You know, if like that hadn't happened, like Southern and Central Africa would have been by now as big economies as Malaysia or Canada or Australia or Singapore, you know. What people have to realize is that apartheid, you know, was not only racist, it was stupid. It was very stupid because economically it just impoverished large areas that now are trying to recover. But it's going to take maybe 100 years to repair the destruction that the apartheid caused in Africa. It didn't only affect Africa, I mean South Africa, but it affected the whole continent, especially the southern part of it.
You look at the art form of jazz, it made it to Nigeria, it was influenced Fela, his music, it made it to Ethiopia. Even in Senegal, they have the festival in Saint-Louis. Jazz music, American jazz music.
Well, but jazz is not American. Please, you know. It got called jazz by journalists like you. But, you know, African-Americans in New Orleans, like Louis Armstrong, those were African people, you know. So it's natural that that kind of thing should be happening in Africa because it comes from there.
You don't think jazz is an African-American art form. You think jazz is an African art form.
Of course. As soon as you say African-American, it's over. That when I came here, African-Americans didn't even want to be called blacks. You know what I mean? They were Negroes. And before that, they were coloreds, you know? And the NAACP is like for colored people, you know what I mean? So it has evolved, but there was a big resistance for it to eventually become African. In future, you have to watch how you put these things because you're talking templates. The truth is tough.
We are remembering Brahu, Hugh Masekela, the trumpeter, social activist, South African legend, who died today. He was 78. In 2015, I spoke to the artist again at the Cape Town International Jazz Festival, and then I asked him to reflect back 50 years when his career was really starting to take off, when he was living in New York City, having just finished his classical music studies at Manhattan School of Music. I wanted to talk to you specifically about the year 1965. You released a few albums of yours, Gurr. You also recorded your set at the Village Gate, which became two records, The Americanization of Ooga Booga and The Lasting Impression of Hugh Masekela. A year earlier, you were married to Miriam Makeba. And then also around this time, you launched your own record label, Chisa.
Chisa Records.
Chisa Records with your running mate, Stuart Levine.
My brother now.
What is this year, 1965? You have so much going on here.
What was the year that I broke out, actually, into that, I first, in 1961, I did a record called Trumpet African. It was a stiff, you know, and it was as a result of me playing on Miriam Makeba's second album that Harry Belafonte, who brought me to school with her, was producing, and they yanked me out of class at the Manhattan School of Music to come and play on four songs. The many voices of Miriam Makeba, and I played four songs on it, but with a hum on mute, you know. And every day, Symphony Seed played all those four songs every night, and that's what brought me, you know, to be noticed by the industry. Then I recorded Grr for Mercury Records. They didn't release it because Irving Green, who owned Mercury, just thought that this music was never going to make it. And then Tom Wilson was producing Simon and Garfunkel and Bob Dylan and a few other people came by at the Village Gate where I used to open for female singers with my quartet. And just said, man, I'd like to come and record you in this environment, you know, with you performing live here. And we did that, and that broke out in California in 1965. And everything broke open from then on. MGM forgot to pick up my option on my contract. And I started recording for my production company when later we call it Chisa and Universal Records. Had a contract with us, and we went on to have a long association with Universal Records, and also we brought the Crusaders there, and like Chisa Records, we had like Randy Crawford, Minnie Riperton. By 1968, without any plan, we had the number one record with Grazing in the Grass.
Well, let's go back to the Americanization of Ooga Booga, which, like you said, MGM thought it would be a complete flop and prove them wrong. Let's listen to, you're going to have to say this because I don't know how to say it. It starts with the D.
Drino Rabiro. We'll be right back.
Zwino Rabiro, Zwino Rabiro. You know, Miriam Makeba's mother was a traditional healer, and so was her grandmother, and so was a great-grandmother. And she taught me like hundreds of songs because she was like just a walking anthology of traditional songs from Southern and Central Africa, especially healing songs. When I was going to start my career, you know, I just couldn't think of other things to do besides, like, you know, because I grew up in township dance bands, but when it came to like traditional music, I really couldn't remember too many songs. And Miriam and her daughter were so happy when I arrived in the States because they were missing a third part. And every night we sang this song. So like, these were like the first, Bachabula Bonke I also learned from her. Abangoma I also learned from her. So it helped me to introduce traditional music also, not only to musicians, but to the world of music, yeah.
Let's talk about your track, Chisa.
Chisa.
Chisa. And that's from your album, The Emancipation of Hugh Masekela, yeah, where you're dressed up as Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, you know, that record was sent back by distributors because at the time they just thought it was very offensive of us to like, for me to look, to dress like Abraham Lincoln. I said, well, Emancipation and Abraham Lincoln went together. And they actually like changed, the distributors say changed the cover. And they had like a pretty white girl running through the fields, you know, and called that Emancipation. So like we went crazy and said, come on, you know, you can't do this cover. It's ridiculous. And so they brought it back and it became like one of the biggest hit albums that I had. And that's the one that had Up and Away. But Chisa was just one of the tracks that we did because we're so happy that we're able like to release me on my own label. And Chisa is really like the old term in the old South African township dances, where when the music was really hot, you know, and if, instead of saying get down, you go Chisa.
Thank you, Masekela, for joining us.
Simon says thank you very much, Simon. Y'all out here, thank you. Chisa. Chisa. Chisa.
Hugh Masekela, rest in power. He died in Johannesburg early this morning, January 23rd, at the age of 78. The Checkout is a podcast of WBGO Newark, and you can find it on places where you subscribe to podcasts like iTunes and Stitcher, and on our website at checkoutjazz.org. And there you can also hear our special concert with Abdulie Ibrahim celebrating the Jazz Epistles. In fact, Hugh Masekela was supposed to be a part of this show on South Africa Freedom Day last year, April, but a week before the show, he canceled due to an injury. Nevertheless, Abdulie Ibrahim celebrates the legacy of Hugh Masekela in that show and tells the story, the remarkable story of the Jazz Epistles. And you should listen to it on our website at checkoutjazz.org. I'm Simon Rentner. Thanks for checking us out.